Good morning, Carmel. You're listening to Off the Wall live on WHJE. I'm Maggie Paul, and I'm here with Jack Missler, J.D. Arlen, and of course our superintendent, Dr. Wall. We're going to start off today with the news headlines. Jack?
Thank you, Maggie. It's one of those days that we in the news broadcasting world hate. It's one of those days we have to talk about yet another horrible tragedy. Over the weekend, there were attacks in several places of the world, but particularly Paris,
yes,
as one that's been in the news a lot. Have you been following this story?
Oh, absolutely. And I think all of us globally, this is obviously a concern to the United States citizens, but it's a global concern as well. And this morning with the release that Russia has indicated it was a 2-pound bomb that exploded, a homemade bomb exploded the commercial airliner that's been verified. Again, disturbing to see the lengths that terrorists will go to, and the lack of any reverence for human life is disturbing to us, especially in the Western Hemisphere, where we value life and consider that the consummate sacrifice. Just had a program in the media center where we talked to some of our servicemen and thanked them for their service. So I do want to thank all the men and women serving the United States and putting themselves in harm's way so we stay out of harm's way.
Yeah,
we got reminded of that as well. And clearly the incidents, numerous,
yeah,
multiple, in Paris bring that home for all of us.
Like we've been saying, you know, this does affect the United States. It affects us. What do you think the U.S. should be doing in terms to these events?
I tell you, that's a tough question. I've had some conversations with some very smart people over the years and most recently, because the challenging question is, are we safer today than we were September 10th, 2001? Because obviously we know what happened on 9/11, yeah, 2001. So that bears consideration and discussion at all levels and all leadership levels. And what do we do? You know, in a perfect world, diplomacy would rule the day.
Yeah.
We're dealing with those that don't even understand conversation. How do we get them to diplomacy?
Well, and I was talking to JD before the show, and we were saying, you know, the U.S., one of their favorite ways to resolve conflicts is to through diplomatic means. But we were saying how ISIS doesn't have diplomats. They don't have, compromise is not an option for them. They are just doing these horrible acts for whatever reasons they tell themselves, but there's no just reason for what happened this weekend. There's no...
None whatsoever, and there's no... It's borderless. This is not like we have a defined border for the... There's a country in violation of international law. This is a borderless group, which makes it very difficult for any of us to determine where they might strike or where they might be. It just, again, goes to all of us being aware and cognizant of where we're at, not only in the United States, but globally, because it really leads into other discussions. You know, we have these millions of refugees exiting countries in war-torn nations. And the unintended consequence of this terror is now the discussion of who will let these individuals migrating away from war into their country.
And yesterday, Governor Mike Pence released a statement saying Indiana will no longer accept refugees. He's joined by the Illinois governor. Several other governors throughout the country have either said they will strictly, they've closed their borders. Some have said,
right,
they're still waiting for further information. Some have not yet commented. What do you think the perception of America should be towards these refugees, these people trying to flee ISIS? You know, trying to.
This is really the ultimate dichotomy, because we're a nation that is formed by, you know, those fleeing religious or other persecution. That's the foundation and on how we came to be called the United States of America. So for us to close down that border of migration is quite a challenge, considering the foundation of the country. But by the same token, you can understand that because there's no discernible trail for anyone coming into the country. It's not like they can look up the name and potential social security number, yeah, determine what they did prior to fleeing, you know, fill in the blank country that's in war. Yeah. So it really gets into a dichotomy of values and needs and what do we do? So I really empathize with all governors and, you know, our president right now, trying to balance the, you know, the invitation that this could be, you know, freedom and democracy for those that have never had it, by the same token, balancing that out with the safety and security of our nation and our state. So it's very difficult to make a, it's not just a one answer question.
Yes.
It's multi-pronged, and it goes into, we need to be a nation that really is thorough on how we do these things, and at the same time, lift up democracy and freedom.
To kind of wrap up, in the next few days, we could very well see France, they're calling it invoke Article 5, but call upon NATO and the EU to form a response against ISIS. What do you think, if Holland asked the President of France, Holland asked for this support, what do you think we would see in the next coming months?
I would hope those discussions take place at all levels. Because if we can be united, you know, the nations that embrace democracy can be united, I think we stand far stronger together than apart. So I'm encouraging and hopeful that those conversations do take place. Because as I said earlier, if they are borderless in their approach to what they're doing, the more we can unite countries together to not endorse and not house this terror, you know, the better chance we have of stopping it.
Of course. Well, thank you, Dr. Wall. Maggie?
Okay, we're going to take a short break, but stay tuned for J.D. Arlen with our sports news coming up next. You're listening to Off the Wall on 91.3 WHJE. Here's A Million Ways by OK Go. Welcome back. You're listening to Off the Wall live on 91.3. We're here with our superintendent, Dr. Wall, and right now, J.D. Arlen has our sports update.
Thank you, Maggie. Good morning, Hounds. Good morning, Dr. Wall. It has been quite the week in sports. Intriguing, I'd say. And an NFL that seems to be plagued with injuries. Specifically, close to home, I'd like to start with the Colts.
Sure.
I know they had a bye week, but regardless, looking at Andrew Luck, that lacerated kidney, the tear in his stomach, What do you think his future is with the Colts, at least for this season?
I'm hopeful the future is with a very, very efficient and protective offensive line going forward, because to date it has not been. We talked about this early in the program year. He has been sacked and or hit more than any other NFL quarterback in the last two seasons. And obviously he's a big guy and he's a tough guy, but the reality is the cumulative effect of that kind of battering on your body is not a good thing, especially for a quarterback. And you hate to see him go down with such a, you know, internal injuries. I mean, that's what he has, like people that are in car accidents or other accidents.
Yeah.
Very frightening. So I hope, to answer your question, I hope his future is with the Colts for a long time with an offensive line that doesn't allow him to get sacked and beat up so often.
Yeah, I think that's why you see quarterbacks throwing the ball, handing it off, and not, of course, going for the QB sneak every play is because of that risk of the injury. It's always so prevalent. It's always, you know, there. No matter what level of sports, you got to protect the quarterback. And
absolutely,
the Colts just haven't been as effective as we'd like them to, protecting the quarterback, at least this season. Moving forward, you know, we've seen great performance by Frank Gore in the past couple of weeks.
Yes.
We've seen DeMonte Moncrief, Dwayne Allen doing well for the Colts. They're looking better. I know they're going to lose Andrew Luck, at least for this Sunday's game.
Right.
Do you think there's much of a postseason future for the Colts? I know we can win our division, but after that, do you see much going for us?
I would say contingent on injuries, absolutely. If we can, you know, get Andrew Luck healthy and keep him healthy, if we can avoid other injuries and the defense is starting to play significantly better against the Broncos, they looked like a different team at many times on the defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, I mean, they're leading the South. They can win the South and you know, in the playoffs, it's all about who's injury free and who's peaking. So absolutely, they have a shot.
Yeah, you mentioned defense. I completely agree. That's what I was going to say. Mike Adams leading the defense. Mm-hmm. Great player, great team overall. I think there's a big future for us, assuming that we can all get better.
I agree.
Moving forward, some Indy sports, or not anymore. Peyton Manning, the former Indy native, going with the all-time NFL passing record, passing Brett Favre this Sunday mm-hmm. against the Chiefs, but not looking as good as he could have. 35 yards, 4 interceptions. Peyton Manning is hurt. We all know that. He's mm-hmm. got quite a few of injuries. The big question is, will he return?
Well, like you were saying earlier, the injuries, you know, they build up, and he's had his share of them, although protected very well throughout most of his career with the Colts and now with the Broncos. We all know about the neck injury, which has affected his right hand as far as the feeling in his hand. I suspected early on in that game Sunday that either he was, you know, something wasn't right, you know, in general for his career or injury. So when we hear about the plantar fasciitis tear in his right foot, which for him is huge because he's all about mechanics. So he can't push off with that right foot. So seeing that makes you kind of wonder that. But based upon his past performance, he'll come back.
Yeah, I think so. And there's a lot of doubters.
I wish him the best.
There's a lot of doubters that say he's not going to come back. He's too old. You know, they said that a few years ago with the neck injury, with the neck surgery. So I just don't see.
And the irony here is, the Broncos have an excellent defense this year. They did in the last 2 years when the Broncos were playing at the high level and then fading in the playoffs because their defense couldn't stop anybody. So their offense is clearly not as proficient this year, and Peyton's not had a great year, but their defense is playing exceptional, and they're 7-2, so time will tell.
Last thing I want to mention today, moving forward with sports, not so much the NFL, but with the same first letter, the NBA. Golden State Warriors are undefeated, 11-0, the defending NBA champions. Steph Curry breaking his father's three-point record with 1,248 in less than half the time. Golden State, what a breakout couple of years for them.
Oh, man.
I mean, I went from not even knowing that part of California had a team to now being a fan. So, I mean, I can't believe the performance they've had.
You couldn't have said it any better. They were not on the map, and not even, and I believe you, people didn't even know, you know, Golden State Warriors where and who. So good management, good coach, and, you know, get the players. I mean, it's the formula, and they've got it going. So they're riding it, and I wish them the best because, you know, the old dynasties of the Lakers and the Bulls and all of those, again, are only in the NBA. You're only as good as your marquee players. And right now, they happen to be in San Francisco.
I don't know if you are a fan of ESPN's show Sports Science, but they had, I believe it was Steph Curry on there for a three-point competition. But here's the twist. They turned all the lights off.
No, so
they
had
him. They had him go around with the lights off, and you know the five positions. Mm-hmm. And from the top of the key, he was 8 out of 10. No lights. Couldn't see where the basket was. Didn't get to see the court before he stepped on it. So he was led out there with a blindfold. Still 8 for 10.
So that reaffirms the old adage: practice, practice, practice.
It's got the mechanics.
From the Beatles to Curry, you got to practice to be good at what you do.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all I've got for sports today. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks, Dr. Wall. Back to Maggie.
Thank you.
Hey, right after this break, we'll have our guests Amy and Taylor on the air to talk about Color Guard and the marching band season. Stay tuned to Off the Wall on WHJE. Here's Just Say Yes by Snow Patrol. This is Off the Wall on WHJE. Today we have Amy and Taylor in the studio to talk about Color Guard here at Carmel. How are you guys?
We're good. How are you doing?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So you guys just had the marching band Bands of America competition this weekend, and you placed 5th, which is awesome. So congratulations.
Yep, congratulations. Tell us a little bit about, you know, you had state the week before and then Bands of America last weekend. Give us a little glimmer into your world.
Well, the past week or so had been really intense with state and then BOA finals after that, so we had extra practices than we usually do, and everything was just pushed a lot harder. So it was a little stressful, but it was the good kind of stress.
It's always a lot of fun, too, though, to see everyone get so excited for our huge competitions. Just a lot of hype.
I'm amazed that, you know, I've been down to that and see the pre-events that you have down at Lucas Oil. It's just, you know, you and thousands of other bands getting ready to go. Tell us a little bit about the practice leading up to that, because this is no accident that consistently Carmel bands excel. And tell us a little bit about how much time we're talking about preseason, season, to practice and to be successful like at the level you are.
Well, we start with auditions at the end of last school year, so it's almost a 6-month long process. And then over the summer we have band camp, which is like 2 weeks, and it's just all day. And then whenever school starts, we have practices at about 6:50 in the morning, excuse me. And then after school Tuesdays through Fridays, and then we have some Saturdays if we don't have competitions, we practice all day. So it's a lot.
The Color Guard also has sort of like an opening night after our first band camp during the summer. And it's like a little dance performance for friends and family where they can come see like a preview of what we're going to be doing this season.
And the maybe it's a mystery, but not to me. Your season really isn't over for Color Guard. What's next?
Definitely Winter Guard.
Okay. Tell us about that.
Well, it's not really like marching band. Well, Color Guard is the same, but we obviously aren't on a football field, and we're performing inside, so we have inside practices and stuff. And the main focus is just the Color Guard. Lots of really cool stuff happen that we can't do outside because we're on the football field with so many other people around us.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I like watching that at the combo. When is that, in like March or?
Yeah, March.
Yeah, it's like March. So when is the actual World Guard competition for Winter Guard?
Well, competition season doesn't really start until like mid-January, and then it lasts through April, and we usually compete like almost every weekend. So
wow, that's and
for
crazy.
Yeah, it is. And for our listeners, how'd you guys do last year? We all know, but maybe not every listener knows.
Last year, our World Guard won first at Worlds, and then our A Guard won fourth in the state.
Again, congratulations. So what's the goal going into this season? I mean, you can't raise the bar any higher. So what's the talk amongst the Color Guard going into the winter season?
Our goal is always really to just push the boundaries a little bit and see how much better we can get and how far we can go. Just really explore different ideas that haven't really been done before.
That's great. Have you developed a theme that anything we can... Or is that to be developed for the season? Is it kind of under wraps?
Yeah, it's a bit of a secret.
So do you guys have tryouts or auditions for Winter Guard 2? Or?
Well, they aren't formal auditions like we have for marching band, but it's like the last 2 weeks of marching band. We have the Color Guard do activities that are kind of like auditions, mm-hmm. but they aren't really formal at all. So,
this is your first season of Winter Guard?
Yeah, I marched for 3 years at a school in South Carolina, and then when I moved here, I was going to do marching band, but some friends had persuaded me to try auditions, and I went, and I really liked it, so this was my first season in the Color Guard at Carmel.
That's fantastic. What do you guys do when you're not, obviously not a lot of time, but you're practicing? When you're not practicing, what are some other things you guys like to do?
I don't know if we really have time.
I know,
to do
it sounds limited. Maybe read a book or...
Yeah, homework maybe. I think that's about homework and practice for 6 months.
Yeah.
Anything for sleep. Fun? Just to unplug?
I don't know. I think Color Guard does our fun.
Okay. Well, there you go. We wish you only the best going into the winter season.
Thank you.
Congrats last weekend. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Off the Wall on 91.3 WHJE. Tune in 3 weeks. Listen to our next show on December 8th. It's currently 11:01 and 52 degrees. You're listening to 91.3.